Thank you. We are back, and he's always Hurley and never late because we're actually returning for reasons unknown 1 minute earlier than usual. But of course, our distinguished guest has been here and has been ready to go. We have visited in the past. He's magnificent. He's wonderful to collaborate with. And this tutorial that you're about to listen to, I can promise you is and will be very listenable. Dr. Joseph Guarino, a cardiologist, and he is board certified in cardiovascular disease. Dr. Guarino earned his medical degree from UCNE Faculty of Medicine in the Dominican Republic. After medical school, he completed a residency in internal medicine at Jersey Shore Medical Center in Neptune, New Jersey. He went on to complete a fellowship in cardiology at the Medical College of Georgia in Augusta, Georgia. Specialty training, cardiology, Medical College of Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, board certified in cardiovascular disease. And it is a pleasure to welcome back. The topic could not be more serious, could not be more important. And I would even say, and we're going to talk about it later in the interview, with this hot weather that is here, 93, 94 degrees yesterday, 94 degrees today. These are things that you'll want to pay attention to. Dr. Guarino, welcome back.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Good to hear your voice. Very important topic, very serious topic, obviously. Our topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Joseph Guarino is heart attack. So let's not bury the lead. Let's get right into it. What is a heart attack?
A heart attack is basically damage to the heart muscle directly. You can have symptoms of chest pain and things without actually having damage occur, but a heart attack is when the muscle of the heart is damaged and it does not repair itself. So the more you lose, the worse off you are. Excuse me.
That's okay. Now, you got into it a little bit, but I think it's still a standalone, important, separate question. What happens to the human during a heart attack?
Okay, well, from our standpoint, what's happening is that most people who develop a heart attack have plaque buildup in the coronary arteries, which are the arteries delivering blood to the heart itself. That plaque, in the setting of a heart attack, can crack open. What happens then is a blood clot may form and block the remaining opening of that vessel. Once you block that blood flow, then you can cause damage to the heart muscle. And that's a heart attack. There are different types of heart attack, if you will. One is where the artery is completely blocked. Another is where the artery may be partially open, so the degree of damage may be less. But in either case, they're both serious situations.
Excuse me. Dr. Guarino, does that that portion of the muscle, and for those who are listening, the heart is a muscle, does that part of the muscle that is damaged, does it die, or can it still be alive but diminished? I mean, what would be the best way to describe the damage that's done to the heart muscle at the time of a heart attack?
Well, if it's there are technical terms we use, but if it's a complete blockage of the artery to that area of the heart muscle, the longer that muscle is deprived of blood, the greater damage is going to occur. The damage begins on the inside of the left ventricle, or the main pumping chamber of the heart, and penetrates outward. You can have, in a completed heart attack, you're going to damage that full thickness of muscle. That area is going to become scar tissue and it's not going to move anymore. Lesser degrees of heart attack are where the inside lining gets deprived of blood flow and you get some damage there, but does not penetrate all the way through the muscle itself to the outer layer. There, the muscle may still be moving to a degree. And in either case, we want to try to reestablish blood flow to minimize the damage or loss of muscle.
Now, during what is a heart attack, I know you brought up about the plaque, and the plaque can break off,
right,
and then a blood clot can form, and you were very illustrative and, as you always are, perfect at radio being the theater of the mind, letting people see what it is. But let me ask you as a standalone, separate question. What causes a heart attack?
Heart attack is basically American lifestyle. various risk factors that cause people to develop plaque in the arteries, and those being primarily hypertension, high cholesterol, smoking history, excuse me, are probably the leading causes of plaque formation. The American diet is also lends itself to that, the fats in the diet and things like that. But plaque can form in the arteries, and you can have, most people have plaque by the age of 20. It's not to a degree that's obstructing blood flow. But if it gets to a point where either the plaque is unstable because it's kind of soft material, maybe liquidy to a degree, and can break open, or it's developed enough of an obstruction or blockage of the artery, which is has to be a minimum of 70% obstruction, where you can compromise blood flow. An acute event is when that plaque may break open, contents still spill into the bloodstream, and a clot may form, blocking the remaining opening of the vessel. That's an acute setting. That's where somebody all of a sudden develops symptoms related to a heart attack.
We are visiting with Dr. Joseph Guarino, cardiologist from Deborah Heart and Lung Center. A reminder that Deborah is accepting new patients, so you can reach out. Dr. Guarino at Deborah Specialty Physicians in Toms River, very convenient to all of our New Jersey metro market listeners. They're at 599 Route 37 West. They're on the second floor in Toms River, and the phone number is 609-836-6622, and I can promise you that Dr. Guarino and the team are just wonderful to work with. And again, they're accepting new patients, 609-836-6622. Let's take our one and only break that we take during Deborah Heart and Lung Center, and then we're going to have a nice uninterrupted segment straight ahead where we have a lot more important content that Dr. Guarino is going to talk about. When we come back, we're going to ask Dr. Guarino to address what are the risk factors for a heart attack. We're going to get into symptoms. We're going to get into gender. We're going to find out through Dr. Guarino, are there differences between men and women and how this all presents? My theory is that men get to the doctor and that many times women just work harder and work through it. There's just something amazing about that. Also, I mentioned in my lead in to Dr. Guarino, the hot weather and what role that can play. Can that lead to a heart attack if you are out there and dehydrating? And, you know, remember, you may hear 94 degrees, but it could be a heat index of 104 degrees very, very easily. The effect of stress. So we, and more, we've got a lot to do. So let me, get out of here so that we can get back with Dr. Guarino as soon as possible. Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Joseph Guarino. The topic is heart attacks. Back in just a few minutes. Don't go away.
Yeah,
perfect. We have exactly 20 minutes uninterrupted now with Dr. Guarino. Dr. Guarino from Deborah Heart and Lung Center addressing the very important topic of heart attacks, because in many respects, I mean, it doesn't get much more serious than that because, you know, obviously the heart, it's not breaking. It's not like breaking a nail on your pinky toe. I mean, you get one heart. It never gets a vacation. It works every day of your life. And there's just so much to this that we want to get into. Dr. Guarino, what are the risk factors in terms of heart attack?
Well, the main risk factors, as I mentioned, hypertension, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and smoking are probably the leading three. Sorry.
That's okay.
Diabetes is also.
How big a role, Dr. Guarino, is heredity, familial?
Heredity does play a role. If your parents or brothers and sisters develop heart disease below the age of 55 primarily, that may increase your risk statistically of developing disease yourself. So if somebody in the family, say your parents obviously have a heart attack when they're younger, in their mid-50s or younger, then the risk to you may be greater. Therefore, you may want to be assessed and just be sure that you're not developing disease as well. Obesity is a big factor as well as inactivity.
You touched on it earlier in your narrative, Dr. Guarino. The evolution in terms of processed foods, loading up everything, baked potatoes and lobster tails with butter, just the bad food that people eat regularly, you could have a person that would not be predisposed to have an issue that could easily have clogged arteries because of their diet, correct?
This is absolutely true. Actually, they've seen that occur in, for example, the Japanese people tend to have low heart attack rates in Japan. But if they come to the United States and move here and start eating more of an American diet, then they develop more plaque in their arteries and things like that.
Because in their culture, they're eating fish and certain oils that also seem to, I guess, to lubricate or whatever. It's demonstrably true, it seems.
Yeah, if you Americanize their diet, then they develop more disease, unfortunately.
There you have it. So it's a wake-up call for America, yeah. Isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It should be, you know. But, I mean, heart disease is the number one killer of men and women in the United States and has been for many years, far and away beyond cancer and infections and lung disease. Heart disease is the number one killer. So,
you're going to love this one because you're Dr. Joseph Guarino and you can handle it, and it's a multi-part question. I know you can do this. I know it well. What are the symptoms of a heart attack, and are there differences between how men and women present?
Yes. The classic symptoms, and these occur primarily in men, although they can occur in women, but primarily in men, the classic symptoms would be an oppressive sensation in the center of the chest, a heaviness or squeezing sensation in the center of the chest, which may radiate to the left arm or left axillary or armpit area, may also radiate to the neck or to the lower jaw. These can be associated with shortness of breath, profuse sweating, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, and all those types of things. Those are classical symptoms of a heart attack. Women, unfortunately, present in very different ways quite commonly. The symptoms may be much more subtle. For example, a woman may just feel unusually tired. Fatigue is a common symptom. But they may not get chest discomfort, or they may just get left arm discomfort, or they may just get jaw discomfort. But the whole constellation of symptoms that I just described, women can present without any of those. Consequently, for a long time, women were seen in an emergency room, and their symptoms were kind of discounted. Oh, it's just anxiety, you're tired, whatever. And they were sent home, and meanwhile, they were having heart attacks.
Wow.
I think that happens to a much less degree nowadays because doctors are more aware, more in tune that a woman might present certainly with different symptoms than a man might present.
Dr. Guarino, it almost sounds like someone's getting their blood pressure checked, but I'm just teasing. But I think I'm right.
No.
I hear the humming sound of the cuff.
It's an air conditioner, I think.
Okay, close enough. I went medical on you. What can I say?
Yes, you
did. I pay attention.
I don't know why.
I know. I pay attention. I listen. So a guest listener, great guest listener by the name of Mike, wrote in just a couple of minutes ago, can you break the ancestry lineage because of parents who smoked and drank alcohol and that you made it a point not to? What do you say to that?
Well, you can't break the lineage, but the fact that they may have been partaking in risk factors that put their risks at higher levels, such as smoking and high cholesterol and things like that, that may be why they had their heart attack. But there may be a genetic component to that as well, so that the younger someone has a heart attack, the greater, statistically greater risk that you might have plaque buildup in your arteries as well. It doesn't mean that you do, it's just that, and you can't do anything about it. You know, it's your family history. You can control whether you smoke or control high blood pressure if you have that. Certainly diabetes, if you control that, can reduce your risks of developing plaque in the arteries and developing heart attack.
You know, they say that, for example, and I know the numbers have been changing and it's getting in even earlier, that if someone in your family has had prostate cancer or something like that, you don't wait to be 55. Now you might go at 40 or whatever. And of course, 40 doesn't help you if you get it at 35. But if you know that there are heart issues in your family, is that something you monitor from the time you're a young adult on, or what do you say relative to what someone that knows, hey, the father had a massive heart attack or a bad heart attack, the grandfather had a heart attack, so on and so forth.
Right.
What should that next person in succession, how should they handle it?
What they should do is obviously talk to their physician about it. It doesn't have to be a cardiologist, but it certainly could be. But talk to their physician about their concerns and then look at any other risk factors they may have that they can control. if they smoke, they should stop smoking and things like that. But then you may want to have a stress test earlier on to kind of assess the circulation to your heart. There are various kinds of stress tests. Some we have the patient walk on a treadmill and monitor the EKG, looking for changes as we increase the level of exercise. There are nuclear stress tests where we do that same type of thing, but then when the heart rate reaches a certain point, inject a nuclear tracer material, which does nothing to the patient, but it allows us to image their heart on under a camera. That lets us look at the blood flow through the heart muscle as well. So you may want to consider those testings earlier on if you have a strong family history of a heart problem to kind of head off or prevent a problem, or you may pick up evidence of a problem before you actually have a heart attack.
Amazing. As you were saying that, and I know there's a little latency on the app, so somebody listening on the app had this question right before you were talking about it. They said, will a nuclear stress test pick up clogged arteries, or do you have to have catheterization in order to pick up if there's clogged arteries?
A nuclear stress test is probably the best non-invasive way, although there's other x-ray techniques which can also be done. But a nuclear stress test is about 87% accurate in predicting whether somebody has significant blockage in the arteries. Now, it doesn't mean you have no blockage or no plaque in the arteries. It's really the plaque will become significant if it's 70% or more. So in other words, if you have a nuclear stress test done and it looks normal, it doesn't mean you don't have any plaque in your arteries. It just means that it hasn't gotten to a degree that's obstructing blood flow.
So, I mean, you're right. It could still be 50% or more, but not...
Exactly.
Okay, that's important. Very important.
Yeah. And you can actually have a heart attack even at 50, 40, 50% plaque buildup. It doesn't have to be 70, but 70 is physiologically where it's obstructing blood flow. There you might develop symptoms of angina, which is pain from the heart. You know, if you're doing something and you're working hard and you develop chest discomfort, or those symptoms we mentioned earlier, that might be an indication to you that maybe there's a blockage there and you may want to get that assessed.
Very important. Very important. And obviously, you are here on a day where it's going to be 94 degrees, and
right,
some parts of the state might even be a little bit hotter. I'm speaking even down here in the southern portion of the state. 94, we will top out at. Can hot right. weather lead to a heart attack?
Sure. I mean, any extremes of temperature can lead to a heart attack. The excessive heat, if you have a degree of blockage in the artery, let's say it's 70%, you're not really symptomatic with it, but now you're exposing yourself to extremes of heat, extremes of temperature, that's going to demand more workload on your heart. And then you may push it to a point where you actually have a heart attack. Same thing can happen in the winter if you're shoveling snow and you didn't have a problem that you knew about beforehand. You're now demanding greater blood flow to the heart muscle, which you cannot deliver. And that's what causes injury to the heart muscle.
Do you find that is the summer more than any other time where you see more heart issues?
I don't know that that's true necessarily. I mean, we obviously see a great more people down in the area going to the beach and doing a lot more activities outside and that type of thing. So physically, they may be much more active. In the winter months, they're inside and trying to stay warm.
Yes.
But being physically active in the heat and then with an underlying problem with the circulation may bring out an acute problem.
You know, I've heard this expression, it may not be literally true, but you can tell us if it is, that stress can kill. Can stress cause a heart attack?
Absolutely. Stress, the two things we talk about in heart disease is that heart symptoms may be brought on by physical exertion or emotional stress. They may bring out the same types of symptoms, so that stress increases the workload on your heart, you release what are called catecholamines and epinephrine levels may go up and things like that in response to stress, and that's increasing the workload on your heart. If there's an underlying problem, then indeed that may lead you to a heart attack.
You are listening to the great, I'm saying that because it's true, the great Dr. Joseph Guarino, cardiologist. You can reach Dr. Guarino and his team at Deborah Specialty Physicians at Toms River. They're at 599 Route 37 West on the second floor in Toms River, New Jersey. To make an appointment, you can call 609-836-6622. I'm giving you the number because they, DeBoer Specialty Physicians, they are accepting new patients. 609-836-6622. When do you know that because I know in doing all these shows with you over the years and your colleagues that sometimes mm-hmm. people just accept, well, you know, I'm older now, so this seems normal that, you know, I'm out of breath or things you used to do and have no, you know, effort at all. Now, you know, you're feeling a bit labored. How do you know the difference between something that could be a problem that you should address and something that's benign?
I think that's an excellent question because many times I'll have patients follow up with me, say they're feeling fine, blah, 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 and I'll say, all right, you can follow up in 6 months and we'll see them again. The reason I do that is not because I'm terribly alarmed that they're having a problem, but the fact is that they may develop subtle symptoms that they think are nothing to worry about, but I might not think the same. So they may be telling me something, well, I can't walk, you know, the block I used to walk 6 months ago. Now I can get half a block and I'm tired and I'm short of breath and I have to go back home. Just simple things like that pique my interest, where then I might say, well, you really should have some testing here because there's a change in what you can do. If it's a sudden change in functional ability, you're not able to do the things you used to do before. Now, certainly part of that may be age-related, but you don't want to just assume that everything is age-related. And if you're developing a problem, you want to kind of get it before it actually causes damage or causes injury. So there we might do a stress test or something like that. Echocardiogram is also used to assess the heart performance to make sure there's no reduction in the squeezing performance of the heart, which may lead to shortness of breath or decrease in activity level and things like that. But we would do testing like that to kind of assess, to make sure that you're not developing a problem, not wait until all of a sudden now you really are in distress and you have to end up in an emergency room. Yeah, you want to try to head that off.
I'm so glad that you had an opportunity to address that question. This, I think, is also very important, and people would, I know, would love to hear your answer on this. Can a heart attack be prevented?
Absolutely. If you, minimize your risk factors, those things you can control, such as smoking and high blood pressure and diabetes and obesity, fat in the diet and things like that, those things are going to help to reduce your risk. You can't control family history and things along those lines, so you're kind of stuck with that. But those things you can control, you should at least be aware of and try to mitigate those effects on your body. The more you could have those risk factors I just ran through, high blood pressure and diabetes and you smoke a little bit, and all those things may be very mild or to a lower degree, but the collection of all of them is really where it increases your risk substantially. So the more of those things you have that you're not controlling, the greater risk you're at of developing plaque in the arteries.
Dr. Guarino, share some of your tips for staying safe, just in general, I would say, but also, too, in the summer heat.
Yeah, I mean, obviously avoid extremes of heat if you can, be indoors a bit. Don't stay out for hours at a time. Obviously, it's nice to get out in the sunshine and things like that, but hydrate. Make sure you're well hydrated and things with water, and you're losing electrolytes through sweat and things as well, so potassium may drop and things along those lines. But you don't want to stay out in extremes of heat or do physical activity that's intense in extremes of heat, because that can be very risky for you. It's a lot of demand on your heart, a lot of workload on the heart, that if you have an underlying problem may put you at greater risk of actually causing damage.
Dr. Guarino, should you see a cardiologist regularly after an attack? I almost feel like Captain Obvious saying that, but please tell us.
Absolutely not. No, you should. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
You should certainly follow up. I mean, your primary doctor is great, and he can take care of most problems for you. But it's important, as I said, even I have patients come back who are stable, say, hey, after having had a heart attack or a stent or things like that. And I have them come back really to chat with them a little bit and get an idea if they're having symptoms that they may not feel are important, but I might feel they're important. And then I might pick up on that and pursue a little more workup if I feel that it's necessary for them.
Dr. Guarino, do you recommend a cardiac rehabilitation program? As a layperson, I think that's such an important thing. You know, if you get taken care of by Dr. Guarino, and there you are, here's all that's been done, what mm-hmm. you now do going forward is so important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think I've seen patients decline and go into rehab or whatever. But I think cardiac rehab is important, because what it does is it strengthens your peripheral muscles, your arms and legs and things like that. And it takes the workload off of your heart and lungs so that functionally you're able to do a lot more without putting all that extra work on your heart. If your muscles are deconditioned, you're weak, you're flabby, you're sitting around all the time, and you get up to do something, well, now you're putting all that demand on your heart and lungs, and that your heart and lungs may not tolerate at that point. So it's important to kind of stay toned.
Without rehab. Go ahead.
Good. No, I was just going to say, and rehab facilities or rehab programs can certainly help you to do that.
So important. Time for one more question, and I think it also is a very important one. It's why all this half hour I've been asking our listeners, if you're dealing with, and you can tell when you're hearing all the content that Dr. Guarino is sharing, you know, if when you walk up a flight of steps, you're heaving and wheezing and you are just feeling like, you know, something is not right. So don't suffer in silence. That's why I'm asking you to call 609-836-6622. One of the most comforting things in the world is to go through what needs to be done and told you're an accidental tourist and you're doing great. But if something is wrong, then you're at the exact right place that you're supposed to be. So let me end with this question. Why should someone go to Deborah for heart-related issues?
They Deborah is a specialty hospital, so they have procedures and things and techniques there that can be done in the setting of more complex problems, but also they can manage milder problems as well. We do handle things here at the local hospitals, but if it's more complex where they need say complex stenting or bypass surgery, which is not available in this immediate area, then Deborah would be an excellent place to go. They have the expertise of their physicians there that are doing complex procedures and doing a great job at them, not only with coronary circulation but with rhythms and all that type of thing, pacemakers, etc. So all those things are available at Deborah at a very high level.
I want to thank you. We did it again. We got every single question that we wanted to get in and even a couple of wild card questions that you were willing to take from me. 609-836-6622. Again, very convenient for everyone listening in New Jersey's metro market in Toms River at 599 Route 37 West on the second floor. Dr. Guarino, Deborah Specialty Physicians at Toms River. I wasn't saying it just to be a friend or to be kind. I really enjoy our time together, and I love the fact that when you come on, you're able to impart information that we've heard over the years. This has helped save lives because people said, hey, you know what? I know something's up, and I've just been pretending like it's not or not paying enough attention, and people do that. You experience that, don't you?
Oh, certainly. Sure. They don't want to admit that there may be a problem, certainly, or they're fearful that there might be, so they delay going to see their doc. But I think it's important that they do.
Good. Absolutely. And we'll continue to reinforce that. Dr. Guarino, thank you for a very important visit. Good to talk to you, sir.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you, too. Bye-bye.
My pleasure.